Our first reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 12 through 20. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And the more than they ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. People also gathered from their towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all were with him, that is, the party of Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the book of Revelations, chapter 1, 4 through 18. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Before his coming with the clouds, every eye will see him, even those who have pierced him. And all the tribes of earth wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in tribulation, and the kingdom and the patience endures that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard him on a loud voice like a trumpet saying, "Write what you see in the book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one, like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. His hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished brass, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like that of a roar of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in the full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. John. The congregation will read the part in bold. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We may not touch his hands and side, nor follow where he trod, but in his promise we rejoice and cry, "My Lord and God." I really love that hymn we just sang, and I love that it does a great job of putting our gospel reading into context for you and for me. You see, today's reading from John chapter 20 is the one where poor Thomas, good, faithful Thomas, faithful to the end to give his life in service of the sharing of the gospel Thomas, the one who would say, "My Lord and my God," sadly gets his moniker of Doubting Thomas. I don't know if you've heard this one as many as I have, but poor guy, he is called Doubting Thomas for our reading here today. We could have easily called him, you know, good, faithful Thomas, or just really, you know, physical touch Thomas. You know, that's his love. He needs his love language. He needs to see it. He needs to feel it. We could have come up with many other things, of course, as a church, but this idea of doubting Thomas. We hear that on Easter when Jesus appeared to the disciples and he said, "Peace be with you," and then he explained to them what had happened, for some reason, Thomas isn't with them. I don't know. Maybe he was out getting groceries. Maybe he was just really, really extra afraid, so he was locked in a different building. We don't know. But for whatever reason, all the disciples are there, but Thomas isn't. Now, afterwards, Thomas does get to see the disciples, and they say, "You'll never believe it." And he doesn't. "You'll never believe it. Jesus is alive. We saw him, just like Mary said. Just like the other guys who were on the road to Emmaus, they saw him, they said, Jesus is alive. It's true." And you imagine that they even explained to him the things that Jesus had shared. We know from the other gospel accounts, he tells them, these things had all been written and it all had to happen. He opens their mind to understand that it was God's plan from the beginning, and he even was laying it out for us to see that Jesus would have to die for our sins, because the punishment for sin is death. And he did not want you and me to experience eternal death. But his plan was to give you eternal life in Jesus. So, Jesus laid that out for the disciples. They understood it. They were excited about it. They shared it with Thomas, thinking, "This is going to be great. We get to share the good news with our brother." And he doesn't believe it. It doesn't make sense. It's a sad first showing for evangelism in the new church. But sure enough, he doesn't believe. He's not certain that this could be true. We don't know what's going on in his heart or his mind. Perhaps it's just extreme anxiety and concern and fear all mixed together and saying, I can't believe. I just How could it be? I saw him dead. I know that he died. It was awful. We don't know where he was in that state when he's saying, I don't believe it. But we do know that God doesn't just leave him there. He doesn't leave you and me there in that state of unbelief and uncertainty. He appears again. He comes to the disciples and he says, peace be with you. In the same way he had entered on Easter Sunday, he comes. I think that's not just, you know, for any coincidence that it says in our reading here in verse 26, he came 8 days later. That's using the Jewish way of counting days, the same way where he was dead and then he rose 3 days later, but it's not like three full 24-hour periods later he rose. The eighth day in the church has been the day we celebrate the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have our church on what is considered the eighth day, or on Sunday, instead of on the Sabbath of Saturday. We know Jesus rose on a Sunday. This eighth day of creation, if you went through your 7 days, you know, you got all the way to Saturday, the seventh day. Well, he came on the eighth day. This new resurrection, this new life comes on this eighth day. And so, sure enough, he comes again on another Sunday. And he says, peace be with you. It's kind of neat that the pattern of the church is already set in the first week of Jesus' resurrection. They're together, and on Sunday, we hear, peace be with you, from Jesus Christ the Lord. And so there they are, this eighth day, this opportunity for Thomas to finally be there and to see Jesus. And Jesus gives them the opportunity. Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Now, I don't know if I had been doubting before and then this happened. I don't know if my initial reaction would be, I'm sorry, Jesus. Guys, you were right. He is really here. I don't know what I would say first, but what a faithful response to see Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. He sees and knows that Jesus truly is alive. The one who died for the sins of the world has risen. In fact, I got so used to saying it last week's sermon, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia. Still well trained. Good job. You guys are great. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we have a risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, he did die for you, but he also defeated death itself and rose from the grave, giving you that promise, not just that your sins are paid for, but that you have a new life in him, an eternal life where you will go to be with your Father in heaven. And what's great is he has not just left us with saying, okay, that's true. Bye now. He's actually given us great and wonderful gifts that he can remind us of this throughout our whole lives, that he can tell you time and again that you are loved, you are God's child, your sins are taken away, and you have a great and wonderful promise for your future. He gives us great and wonderful gifts to keep us in that truth. We have, of course, God's word that we get to hear read here in church. You can take it and read it yourself at home. You can hit play on your phone and it'll read it to you in many languages. It's very exciting, in many different themes and styles. We have God's word, this verbal word shared with us. But that's not all, in fact. The church has long held that there are these two great ways that we receive God's word, the verbal word and the visible word, something that can be seen, touched, and felt. We receive this in his sacraments, his means of grace, in baptism and in communion. We hear God's word, but we can also feel, experience, touch, taste the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Savior, which is why I love that during our service of the sacrament, those sacred or holy things, when we have communion, after the words of institution, we pray then the Lord's Prayer, then I hold up the bread and the wine and say, "Peace be with you." Just like we have here today. The peace of the Lord be with you. We don't see him standing before us. We don't hear his gracious words coming from his mouth. We can't see the holes in his hands or put our hand in his side. But we do have his word written and shared. And we do have the promise that he is here with us in his body and his blood in the bread and the wine. You have both a verbal and a visible word of God. These are given to you because God does love you. And in fact, we are even given specifically in his words why they're given to you. John, who's been writing this gospel for us, he gives us, of course, the account of what Jesus and his disciples do. And then he gives you an aside. In verse 30, he takes us out of what's happening with Jesus and the disciples. And he says, specifically to you. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He gives you the very purpose for the writing of this gospel. He gives you the purpose of you having God's word in your hands. He tells you why his church on earth exists, to give you these wonderful gifts, to share them with you, not just verbal, but also visible word of God, to receive his great blessings, so that you may believe, and that by believing you may have life in Jesus' name. What a wonderful God we have, who cares for us so greatly. Yes, he sent his son to die for you. Yes, he rose from the grave to defeat death. Even more so, he has given you his word to tell you these things and to remind you of them, to live and work in you. As our other reading said, his word is even like a two-edged sword, piercing to the deepest parts of us. And he has given us his gifts of mercy and grace. Baptism, which washes our sins away and makes us his child. And communion, which gives us life-sustaining food. Gives you the very body and blood of your Savior. So that you can indeed have him in you, physically. Knowing that your Savior Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. And continues to care for you each and every day. So every time you come here to church on the eighth day, you will hear that peace is with you. The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Thank you, sir. Well trained again. Great job. The peace of the Lord is always with us. He is always with us. His word is always there, working both in the word that we read and we hear read, working through the word that you have in your heart and your mind that you recall. Working even through good hymns that point us to our Savior and to the truth that God has for us. He's working through you, for you, through his church also, that you might come here and receive those great blessings. I'm so thankful that we here at Christ the Vine get to come together every eighth day. And now that we're through Lent and Holy Week, it is just on the eighth day for the time being for worship services. They were all wonderful, but it's not bad just to also see you on the eighth day. So thankful that we get to come here to experience God's goodness through his verbal and his visible word, hearing the truth that you are saved because Jesus Christ is in control of all things. And we know that this faith we have in him, this belief we've been given, it is for the great eternal benefit of our salvation. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. To the glory of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.